Recording in progress.
Beautiful. Good evening, everybody. We're on Daf Yud Daled, and we're holding
14a1,
where it says Kamada Tamar. I think that's what we left off.
Yeah.
Kamada Tamar Gavakotzer Dor Shel Hitasa Kachas V'Chayav B'Peya. But just like we said, when it comes to Peya, that it has to be something which is lekitosa ka'achas, right? It has to be gathered all at once. So emraf pa'elkach. So there's a din by pa'el. If you work in a field, that you're allowed to go ahead and collect, and from what you're working in, you're allowed to put a little something, a little tidbit into your mouth while you're working. So that halacha is across the board, about based on whatever kind of food you're working. It doesn't have to be something which is lekitosa ka'achas. Even if you're working on a fig tree, you can grab a fig and put it in your mouth. So how do you know? Maybe that din should also be limited by the types of food that you're chayv and peya. On Rabbi Yonah, Shanya here. So Rabbi Yonah says it's different. How is it different? It says in the pasuk, you'll pluck ears with your hand. So I feel we dover shein alakim, because the way they explain it over here, footnote 6, he says melilos are ears, which specifically are referred to stalks that are soft, moist, and not fully developed. So the fact is, those and grapes both are things which do not have kiyum, right? They're moist, and they generally will be only eaten right there on the spot. So therefore, the Gemara knows that it's from the word melilos that the other requirement is a fair shapusik. So we know not to limit the eichel for the poel to be only the things that have the requirements that we said before, the five requirements. Okay, that's what we should have gotten up to yesterday. Let's keep going. 14a, Daf Yud Daled. Tani, it says tamarim, that dates are obligated and pay it. So the Gemara says a brisa. Tani, there's a brisa. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, rotave tamarim p'torim and hapeya. If you have a type of a date which never matures, apparently, you know, there's people like that too. That never matures. So if you have this kind of date, so they're going to be exempt from peya. Why would they be exempt from peya?
Are they
edible? Well, they become edible, yeah. At this point, let's see.
They're moist,
yeah. We're going to see in a second. So the Yerushalmi says why. L'fisha'in harishan shavahem mamtum la'achron. The earlier ones, don't wait for the later ones. In other words, they'll be ripened at different times. And it's just like the te'ina, so to speak, this type of tamar. So the Gemara says, yo, some Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. He's spoken well. In other words, for sure. So it seems to be, what he says here in the English, he says his reasoning seems to be flawless. So my time of Drabbanan, what's the reason of Drabbanan? In other words, since it says Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer in this brisa, it sounds like the Drabbanan are going to argue on this shita, and they're going to hold no, that Rotabe Tamarim are actually chayv in Peya. So why would the Rabbanan argue on him? So the Gemara says, Amar Zeirom, and they should pull and see Kansar Basachas, because all Rotev dates are left in piles on the ground, and there's a warming in a basket or in big blankets, whatever it is. So they gather them all together, pile them into big piles, and then those big piles generate heat. And through that heat, it becomes ripe. So since there is a process where they do become edible,
and
it's all at the same time, so that their abundant fell, but that's called lekitoso ka'achas, and therefore they held this chayv and pay. That's all it says. It's very simple.
Is this considered lekitoso ka'achas?
That's what we're saying. That's the machlokas here, but this is the machlokas tonight. So Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda held that lekitoso ka'achas is totally in when you pick it off the tree, right? We're talking about the one. So it's a tree, right? So it's a date tree, date palm. So if you have this type of palm, which doesn't get ripe, it takes forever all at the same time, or it takes a long time, whatever it is, it's not, since it's not picked off the tree at the same time, it's not called Lekitasa Kachas. Mashayin came to Rabbanan to argue on him, and they hold no, since in the end, we'll end up piling them all up into a basket, and then they'll all become ripe together, so therefore it's called Lekitasa Kachas. That's the Machlokas. What?
That's the
Machlokas. Yeah, that's the Machlokas. Now,
is it the same thing with Gabe Meiser, for example? Dainu, if part of them, you know, were in special before Tu B'Shvat, and then part of them, and then, you know, those fell off, and we all got together, they all ended up ripening together, you know, in Adar. Would it change which year it's considered this special?
That's a good trail, I don't know.
I mean, it's just like a strange concept, like, Lamaisa Nikita is when it's picked and when it comes off, like, because it ends up coming together, like, where do we, like, it just sounds like a shared svara.
Let's take a look.
Yeah, the entire crop is ultimately heaped together as one harvest for this ripening process to take place, satisfying the requirement of being harvested at once.
You know, the Lakita, Lakita doesn't mean when is it getting detached from the ground. Lakita means when is it harvested, and when we harvest something, so that's falling on when people harvest it. So this is the way it's harvested.
That's correct.
Okay, that makes sense.
In the bottom box, let's take a look. I didn't look at it before. I should have. Let's see. He has a Chazonish in B. So what does he say? The Pnei Moshe maintains Reitvei Tamarim are not an independent species. Rather, it's referring to over-moist dates that sometimes grow together with regular dates. These over-moist dates ripen, can be harvested at the same time as the other dates. So because it is inevitable that the harvesting of all the dates will stretch out over a period of time during which the over-moist dates may spoil, the farmers make an earlier independent harvest of these dates to prevent them from becoming ruined. The fact that the harvest of the entire crop takes more than one day does not affect the criteria. Right, we understand that. Rabbi Yosef retains, since practically speaking, the harvest of these over-moist dates is done independently, they don't fall into the category of harvested all at once. The sages argue, since it is only due to external circumstances that they do these independently, it doesn't change the essential quality. Okay, whatever.
The master is Bacha Chanata, by the way, so it would be a separate.
Okay.
Over there would be
okay. Very good. Biter. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chakula, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. These two Amorim, I guess they're Amorim, they say, like, they both say the following. And I don't know what this cool cuss is. It's some kind of plant, but telling you it's some kind of plant doesn't give you any visual. Let's just assume for the time being that this is a vegetable. Okay? So it's kiyarok. It's a vegetable. So it's a vegetable. It says ulamaisris. I don't know why it says ulamaisris. It should. What's the vav going on?
The vav is in parentheses.
The vav is in parentheses in the English. In the English, it's not in parentheses. Okay. So.
It says kulkos kiyarek ulamaisris.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything. Fine, so you make a bright priyadama. That's the Yerik part of it. Well, the Meisers, and regarding the laws of Meisers. What's regarding the laws of Meiser? So, let's take a look over here. So we have different pshatim on this. One is because Meisers on Yerukis is only Drabbanon. One is, it says over here, in Rash Cirilo, top line, left column, he says, "Have a yerek, have a Rosh Hashanah shleyecha b'tishrei." It's not considered. What we're trying to say, remember, we always have to know when we say something is a vegetable, we're trying to. There's always the alternative. What else could it be? It might be a fruit. So this is like one of those questions: is it a vegetable? Is it a fruit? So if it's a vegetable, it's Rosh Hashanah is echa b'tishrei. If it's a fruit, then it's Rosh Hashanah is Tu B'Shvat. So. What's the nafkamina of what the Rosh Hashanah is? You can't be ma'aser mishana Al Shana, right? That's even from the right. You don't mix the years. So anyway, so it has a lakum lagam in Maaser, so about like a vegetable. Ula Shvius. As far as Shvius is concerned, so again, Rav Cirilo says the La Milanhu, it's not a tree. The name of Emi Shom Isos Svichim. Everybody, I've discussed this before with you. We've mentioned what the Isos Svichim is. We'll just say it over briefly. Wild growth, like if a vegetable is growing on its own in the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to eat it. That's an Issa D'Rabbanan, even though Midar Raisa it's Mutter, because you're only Osir to eat things that you're not allowed to work the field, but something that the field produces on its own, you can eat. So why is it Osir to eat these wild vegetables? Because we're afraid of the Ramayim. Well, those Ramayim ruin life for everybody. Those Ramayim, they're gonna go ahead and say, you know, when you see them eating a gansa meal with vegetables, they're gonna say, we didn't plant these. These grew wild, so we don't trust them, and therefore they're abundant acid across the board. Fruit, on the other hand, you don't have to worry about that. A fruit tree, like an apple tree, is gonna grow apples. Oranges are gonna grow oranges. That's gonna happen all by itself. And there's no problem of worrying about somebody planting it, obviously. So there's no Issur Svichim by fruit. So it's telling me this kolkas thing has a halacha like a vegetable. Lagabe the din of shvius, meaning that it falls within the category of the Issur Svichim. Okay? And then finally you have, that's a question, are you garis ulabikurim? Ulabikurim. Because vegetables are not chayv in Bikurim. So what would Bikurim mean then?
Number 18 deletes it.
It would be deleted, or it means that it's not chayv in Bikurim, which would be a double pasha. And then Nedarim Tzricha, and if as far as Nedarim is concerned, that would be a Tzorach Ian, so to speak. The Gemara says that would be a question. Why? Because by Nedarim, we always say, by Nedarim, it's not an absolute. By Nedarim, Holchen Achel Hashem B'nei Adam all the time, right? So if I say I ask for myself in all vegetables, or if I say I ask for myself in all fruit, so is the kulkas included in the netter or not included in the netter? That's the Rishonim is not giving you a definitive answer on that. That's tricha. That's going to be a question. Okay? That requires clarification. That's what it says over here. Okay. Now we go to Yudal Amud Beis, Mish Halacha He. Okay, La'olam Hunosim Mishum Peya. You're always supposed to give Peya, meaning La'olam, and all the Mefarshim here. Look at, let for instance, Marafolda. Ilo Hifresh Min Hakomo Yafresh Min HaOmrim. If you didn't take it while it was standing, and you cut the whole field, then give the Peya from the stalks, right? And or from the trees, achar ha'arima ad hamiruach anoisen peya upteir p'turim na meisus. Now, normally there's stages, right? So he enumerates the stages, I think, down on the bottom here. Let's just say what they are, just so we have it over here. It's in footnote 3. It says, in the case of grains, this entails reaping the grain, threshing it, winnowing it in order to remove the strong chaff, heaping the clean grain into a pile, smoothing down the pile with a shovel. So that smoothing down the grain with a shovel is what we're going to call miruach all the time. So any of the melachas will be lo'aylam, your mafresh to pay off at any point in this process, and you don't have to give maestres up until the point of miruach. Once you do miruach, then presumably that's the Gemara Malacha. The Gemara Malacha, the grain becomes chayiv in Maestris, officially. And then, from that point, you're going to have to take the Maestris before you give it to the Aniyim. Because we don't want the Aniyim to suffer. Before, if I were to give them 1/60th of my produce, then he would have gotten it. He wouldn't have to give any Maestris. So if I'm going to give it to him after the Miruach, and I give him the same 1/60th, he's now going to have a loss, because 10% of that is going to have to go away to the Levi, and 2% to the Kohen. We don't want him to experience that loss. So you, the Baal Bas, you, the farmer, are going to have to take that. That's what it says in this Mishnah. So, Lo'ilu will noise the Mishnah pay will pause when the Maestros had Shemurach. V'noitu min ha'goyren. Now, there's a missing clause here. There's a missing clause in the Yerushalmi's Gersa. It should say, and in the Shinuim Gersa, you'll see it on the side. if you want to look there, or if you look in the English, it's there as well. But you'll see it says the noisem rishon hefker upatron hamaisres anshe yimareach. So what that means is like this: if I have produce, I can say it's hefker. Everybody's mutter to take it. And of course, by hefker, we all know that the din by hefker is spotted from miser, because uvahalevi came with chelik v'nachleim. Well, the reason why you give him miser is because he doesn't have a chelik. You have some hefker, which he does have a chelik in. But that's only true again at shiyam areach. If I'm mafker my nechosim, my tvuah after miruach, then the hefker does not potter the tvuah. I have to, whoever zocha in that tefuah, there is no chiv obviously on me, I was mafker it, but whoever zocha in it has to take the maestros. Yeah.
Is areach an agricultural thing? All farmers do it? Or we do it as a process to show the end of the pay process?
I assume that these were processes which were done by everybody, universally. Yeah. We're going to talk about this din. This din is a complex halacha, but we're going to get more into it in just a minute. Umachal behema. I'm sorry. V'noitel min ha-goyren v'zareya. Now we're back in the Mishnah in our girsa. V'noitel min ha-goyren v'zareya. Now you can, min ha-torah, I can go ahead and take any tevel seeds and plant them in the ground. And it's no problem. That's part of, you know, don't have to worry about it. But the Chazal were afraid that if we're going to allow that to happen, then you're going to end up there's going to be a loss to the Levium, because you'll end up saving a lot of your tevel for seeds. So anyway, so that's basically what it says here. You can take it from the granary. Before there's miruach, before gemar malacha, and you could use whatever seeds you get out of that, and you could be zreya the pater from maishes on shen yimareach again until miruach. Umachal behema l'chay lo'avis u'pater on maishes. And again, now we keep speaking about that you're allowed to eat it before you do the miruach. What are you allowed? In what way are you allowed to eat it? You're allowed to eat it achilas arai, right? You can't eat achilas kava even before the miruach. That's a distinction. All achilas behema is considered achilas arai. Therefore, the Mishnah gives you an example of achilas arai. You can feed your animal, right? You can feed your animal before the miruach, okay? But afterwards, you cannot. Dear Rabbi Akiva, that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. Is there a machlokas here between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim? I'm not sure. What does it say here? Is there a machlokas here? Does anybody disagree with him?
Yes.
Nine. The earlier, the Mishnah's attribution of this ruling to Rabbi Akiva implies that the rabbis disagree. They maintain one is rabbinically forbidden to plant even produce that has not yet undergone miruach without first tithing it. The reason for this is that allowing untithed produce to be planted could result in large-scale use of this loophole. And a large, again, this is the loss to the Levium. So they weren't worried about Hefker, but they were concerned about using it. Okay. Yeah, okay. So the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. In other words, what we're basically saying is Rabbi Akiva's Shita here is that you can plant, you can use it for seeds up until miruach, and the Chachamim don't agree with that. They hold you can't even use it before miruach for planting. All right. Kain v'levi shalach v'sagarin ha'maisa shalhen adshe yimarchu. That if you go ahead, let's say you have a kohen or a levi, and they go ahead and they go to they go to the market, and I'm selling my produce. It's just been harvested, and they sell they'll buy it. So if they can go ahead. But purchase the harvest and take all the troops and marches for themselves, no problem. They can keep that. But after Miruach, they can't. They have to, even though they're a Kohen, there's a Din Darabanan that the Kohen and the Levi have, if they buy something, they have to give it away to other Kohanim. That's what it's saying over here, I think. After Miruach, they can't keep it. And again, the same thing is true by, let's suppose a person's makdish their field, and then you're poted, either yourself or someone else has poted, chayav a meisris ad shein marach hagizbar. The only way it could be potter in that case is if I was makdish the field before, before it got the miruach stage had occurred, and then while it was in the shus hekdish did the miruach. So then, because the shas chiyuv of the meisris was while it was in hekdish, so therefore hekdish pottered this. There was an actual tour from the kayach hekdish that potters this tour. Subsequently, if I go ahead and appoint it, I do not have to take off any meisros. So that's a nice loophole. Okay.
Does the gorin come before the meruach or after the meruach?
Gorin
comes before.
Right? Gorin, if you're using gorin as a storage area. See, I thought this took place in the threshing floor, I didn't think this took place in the field. I thought this we're working. This is the way I visualize it. So you're working these wheat kernels and you're having them crushed and you're throwing them up in the wind and you're doing the borer and the racket, all that stuff, and then you sweep it all together, make a big pile in those big tall silos that they have in you see on the farms. And that's what I thought anyway. That's where it'll be all piled up and smoothed out in that silo. So that's what I thought the gorin was. I thought the gorin was the location where the smoothing took place. Do you not agree with me?
I don't know.
I mean, that's what I don't know. I don't know. I guess that's what it is.
So according to you, then the meruah is after the gorin.
Yes, I'd say it's inside the gorin. Yeah. Okay, so now it says the all who knows it. So Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yankov bar Zavdi, b'shem Rabbi Avu, Rabbi Nechemia bar Mar Okvan, Umati bar b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, whatever that means. The people are quoting different people. Hifresh bikurim mikri memorach. Let's suppose you took bikurim from a smooth pile of grain. Potter mitruma gedola. You're potter from truma. In other words, even though we've just been saying that, if you forgot to take peah and you did it after miruach, you have to take the truma, but that's not true by bikurim. Okay? Right. Because we're going to see in a minute the reason why. Amar Rav Chagai Komi Rav Yosi Masnisa Amar Kein. The Mishnah, in a sense, said this, or Raisa says this as well. La'olam hu noisim mishum peah upatran amaisar achi mareach. So there's some Gersoth issues over here, but let's learn this the way it says over here. That you always Olam who knows a mishum peah. That's what we were just quoting our Mishnah, right? You always give peah, and you're potter from meiser until you do miruach. Now it didn't say also bikurim. If bikurim and peah were the same din, it would have quoted peah and bikurim together. It would have said Olam. Who knows a mishum peah ubi korim? It would have put them both together in the Mishnah, but since it left it out, so you see what? That bikurim does not have the same din as peah. Rather, what? Bikurim is potter from truma even after miruach. That's the diak the Gemara wants to say. So the Gemara says, and then we're on Tesvav on Aleph, ha'im mirach chayev. If he did miruach, then he would be chayev. Masha ain't came, but should be saved by Bikurim. It says Truman here, but we're changing that word to Bikurim. Masha ain't came by Kurim, right? Which, you, like I just told you, if it would be Bikurim, even after Miruach, you wouldn't have to give Truma. So the Gemara says, no. How do you know to make the Diak that way? I just made the Diak one way, right? I said that it doesn't say Bikurim is like Peah. Rather, it's not like Peah, that because it's Peah after Miruach is Chayev and Truma. I'll tell you, and therefore I'm telling you that Bikurim is different, that even after Miruach it's Potter from Truma. Let's say the other way around. Let's say that Bikurim is Chayev and Truma both before and after Miruach. How do you know to make the Diuk that it's completely Potter? I'll tell you, it's always Chayev and Truma. Maybe that's the way to make the Diuk. In other words, what I'm saying to you is like this. Bikurim normally is you go to the first fruits that are growing and you put a little bind a little ribbon around it, and you identify the first fruits. So, but if you forgot to do that, and you picked all the fruit, so the din is you have to, it's just like payah, you have to be mafresh it later, at a later stage, right? And it happens to be the same shear also, 1/60. So, if you did it correctly, so maybe that's when you're parted from truma. But if you waited until after you picked it off the trees, off the whatever, maybe then you have to give maishas even before miruah. That's the Gemara's kasha. So Gemara says, v'leim ha bikurim hechayav af al pi shalom mireach. So the Gemara says, v'ayda amrada. So rather, this is the source. This is how I know from this other. In other words, he rejects that raya from the Ar Mishnah. Lama nikru ushman bikurim. There's another Mishnah that says, why are they called bikurim? Shehim bikurim l'kol. They are the first fruits. They're bikur. They're the first fruits of everything. Right? V'kol ha'kayim as chaveray, chaveram is chayvo. Whatever precedes its friend is chayav in it. In other words, like this. So if you take truma, so what's left is chayav in maaseris. You take maaseris, then what's left is chayav in maaser sheni. So each thing is it's a sequence, right? So bikurim came first, and that was obviously bikurim is not chayav in truma. It's only what was left over after the bikurim that becomes chayav in truma. But the bikurim itself is never chayav in truma. That's what it wants to say here. So, right. So that's what we're going to stop here. So there's a simple question over here, as you may have gathered. But we're saying by payah that's not the case, right? By payah, we say that even though it's not the first, but we said that as soon as you pick payah, it's putter from truma. So why isn't it chayav in truma? You don't have this idea that it's the first thing. So what does it mean, right? So over here he brings a very interesting answer to the question from the Amunus Yosef. I like this answer. He says the obligation of Bikurim and Truma Maestras relate to the crop itself. The produce grown in the land of Israel requires a separation of these gifts. Since these gifts are supposed to be given in a specific order, each later gift is subject to the earlier gifts and not vice versa. Pay, on the other hand, relates not to the produce, but to the farmer, who has an obligation to leave the gifts to the poor. So although the pay obligation takes effect before Truma and Maaser, it's not part of the general order of gifts that relate to the produce itself. So therefore, the gifts that follow it cannot be said to pertain only to what remains after the pay was designated. Rather, they can apply even to payah if you were to be mafresh payah after the miruah. It's kind of chesagavi, yeah. Anyway, so that's the end of that. So, there's a shtickle I want to tell you over from Chaim, unless you want to run to Myriv. It's 8:59. It's up to you. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Let me just get it out.
All right. I think it's in my bag.
I'll say it tomorrow, Mr. Shaw. I'll say it. Okay, call two.
Recording stopped.